Well, let's have a word of prayer and we will get started. Lord, thank you for each of these ladies and thank you for the opportunity to look at very important truths from your word. Lord, give us wisdom this morning. Give me the words to say, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will do my best to get through this lesson. I cannot guarantee it. It's a long one and it's quite involved, so we will plan on doing it, but if we don't, we'll just pick up where we left off next time. So, again, she begins with her supposed perspective on how Eve was thinking, and Eve was probably having troubles with Adam and his perspective on her, and she was questioning about Adam's love for her, who she really was, and so forth. And I am sure a lot of that is true, because how we think now was, I'm sure, represented in the early stages of the ramifications of the fall. And she gives an illustration at the beginning that I think is one worth me repeating here, and that's about the fact she constantly was having eye irritation after she put her contacts in. And they thought it was an allergy, but when she finally went to the eye doctor, they found out the problem was with the contacts. And that had to get fixed. And then she was fine. And we have to realize that we look through the lens of our own thinking so often, and therefore we have a lot of problems, a lot of unnecessary suffering, a lot of lack of spiritual growth, because we view ourselves and we view life from a very wrong perspective. And we're going to be looking today at the lies that we believe about ourselves. And let me just say, and I'll touch on it several times this morning, but a lot of the lies that we believe about ourselves come from an improper view of God, the lies that we believe about God. Because if you have an appropriate, full, clear, spiritual understanding of God and His attitude toward us, you will not run into these problems. So both of these lessons go hand in hand. So we'll just get right into the lies as she lays them out here. First of all, I'm not worth anything. That's a lie that a lot of ladies believe today. This has increased in my years of ministry, has increased exponentially. Wasn't quite as major of a problem in the past. It's always a problem for everyone to some extent, having insecurity. But because of dysfunctional homes, because of wrong things happening to ladies in their upbringing and in their early years, they very easily can fall into the trap of feeling like I'm not worth anything. In fact, just in your own working with people, you've got to realize that's at the core of a lot of ladies' problems, men as well. In fact, in her own survey, she said half of the women she surveyed believe that lie. And so it is, and I don't think that's exaggerated at all. I would say in our culture, it would be a higher percentage than that. She quotes a couple of folks, for the longest time I thought I was not worth anything. Even after I was saved, I thought I was equal to pond scum. This threw me into depression. I began to isolate myself and as a result was not living the life of joy that God had intended for me. It goes on to talk about always dreaming about other things, and then the hurt in her marriage just made it even worse. So there's a number of reasons why this sense of worthlessness can be there. Again, at the core of it is a wrong view of God, therefore a wrong view of yourself in light of God. It is some of the things that occur in our upbringing, but it's what people say or their attitudes toward us that we allow to affect us. We listen to people who look at us or people in general through a defective lens. One lady wrote, I have a memory of being six and being told that I had no right to live and I should never have been born. I don't remember who said it, but I do remember my mother just standing there and not doing anything about it. After that, she became very withdrawn, and it was extremely difficult for her to talk to people. And as a result of that, they tried to put her into a special needs program, which was only because she was hindered in the wrong view about herself. Unfortunately, parents say things that they should never say. And of course, I've talked about that in parenting. You never deal with a child's sin by saying, "You are." You deal with a child's sin by saying, "This is what you did. God is not pleased. This goes against the word of God. We need to deal with it this way. Here's how you can have victory." It's not, "You are a liar," though that's true about all of us in this sense, but "You have lied, and you need to correct this." Or if they're messy, "Your room, you did not obey what I said about cleaning up your room," but it's so easy to say, "You know, you're nothing but a slob." And that kind of thing can go with a child all their life. Now, you can correct that by just changing how you deal with things, but that does happen. And it's, it's something that we need to understand that should not happen. But there is such a craving for affirmation in our broken culture. And one of the great signs of that is the social media phenomenon and how desperately people want to be liked. You know, a person can get 100 compliments but have one person say something negative, and that's all they think about. If you're living for compliments, then that's what's going to happen. If you are living for the Lord and have a right view of yourself from a biblical perspective, then you can handle the one thing that should not have been said. Some of the things here is feeling a constant need to try to present a polished version of your life on social media. Social media is just a whole pack of lies so many times as far as the image that people try to portray of themselves. And if they're on social media, they keep thinking, "I can't measure up to that. I must not be anything." Or doing some kind of ministry or being involved in something so people will appreciate you, not for the fact that God's called you to do that. Or or having your feeling of worth come from your performance. You know, if you do your housework, if you do anything, if you do ministry because you need the praise of men, you're going to burn out. But if you do it because of a love for the Lord and because you're trusting Him to enable you to do what you ought to do, you'll be renewed day by day. You will have the power of God to do it. And very important. Now remember, Jesus was rejected by men. It was horrible. And I won't go through all of that. But he was despised and rejected of men, as Isaiah chapter 53 says. And then, of course, he was put on the cross. But one thing he knew was he was accepted by his Father. And he had a goal and purpose for his life. It was not gaining the acceptance of man. It was gaining the salvation of man for their good and to accomplish the will of the Father. And so Jesus, of course, didn't sin, but he did not find himself reacting to that. So ladies, let me just say, feeling worthless is not humility. Okay? Everybody hear me on that? Don't fall into that trap. Feeling bad about yourself is not humility. Humility is being honest about your needs, but understanding who you are in Christ and that you are a child of God once you trust the Lord. You're extremely important to the Lord. He died for you. He is working on your behalf all of the time. You are a precious jewel to Him, and He wants to spend eternity. He's preparing a place for you in His own, in the palace of the King. And you are sons and daughters of the King, the Bible says we are. And so you've got to change your thinking about God and about yourself. What you do, you've got to really check your motives. Are you trying to get approval? Or are you instead really wanting to meet the needs of others? Now think about that. That's a big deal, okay? And so it's very important that we have this mind that was in Christ Jesus, as I preached on from Philippians chapter 2 on Sunday morning. And so I do want to encourage you to analyze, why do you do what you do? You will be miserable if you live for people's approval, because they will not always approve of you. You will not always succeed. You will not always get compliments. And you will inevitably have a grouchy person say something here or there, okay? Or not appreciate you. So if you're living for approval, then you're going to have these worthless feelings. So you've got to reject that. That is not of God. Now, humanly, honestly, we know we're without him, oh, wretched man that I am. But that's not a sense of worthlessness. That's a sense of honesty, but we know who we are in Christ. Our sense of worth comes because of who he is and what he's done, not on our productivity. And because we love him, we want to produce a lot, but that's not to make us feel good. Now, I could spend hours on this subject. Are you with me here? I know it's early. This is key. It's key to everything else I'm going to say. I got to move. I got to keep moving forward. But I'm telling you, the answer to insecurity is to know who you are in Christ and to be very, very secure in that, and not to allow yourself to need approval. All right, the next point here is, where did I put that? I need to love myself more. That is the modern philosophy of how to solve your problem of worthlessness. And let me just say, and I like what she said, and I said this on Sunday, you don't have any problem loving yourself, okay? In fact, the great commandment that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, the second is likened to it. You need to love your neighbor as yourself, okay? So what is clearly indicated by God as a fact? You love yourself. And husbands are to love their wives as they love their own bodies. So it's just an accepted fact that your problem is not loving yourself. The problem is you love yourself too much. And you are looking at satisfying self rather than having God work into your work in your lives. And if you you have all kinds of things you'll find on the internet about 22 ways to love yourself more, and all of those kind of things. And in fact, a lot of even advertisements are built upon the fact you deserve to have this or that. And so that is not the solution. Self always binds. And it is important for us to realize that, let me just say this, if you love yourself, if you make that you're trying to find yourself, love yourself, you're going to get more and more discouraged. Because self is just ugly. Self is destructive. Self will cause you to react to your marriage. It'll react to your children, react to other people. And so this whole, and look at what's happening in our culture. Is this culture of needing to love yourself working? Are people getting over their insecurities? No, it's getting just absolutely a crisis. And so that is not the answer. And so it's, you know, what happens is if you're focused on loving yourself, then when then when you have somebody say something negatively, it offends you. You're not offended if you are walking with the Lord.
Letting him affect others.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Everything is about our identity in Christ. And that has to be gotten. That's like you said, it looks like the two are contradictory.
And without God,
you will feel more worthless eventually. It'll be counter, and this is what's happening all around, because it is a fruitless study. Yeah, I appreciate that. That is the whole emphasis here, and to you know how when somebody that we really care about expresses love and does something for us, how deeply that goes, and you feel like a parent or a child or whatever. Just think about the fact you are 100% accepted by the Father. Christ gave everything for you. He is working on your behalf right now. He is ever living to make intercession for you. And when you accept that love from Him, then the balance between I'm not worth anything, you know you are worth anything, and then to loving yourself, you realize that's ridiculous. You are on solid ground. So thank you. All right. Well, I can't help the way I am. Well, it is true that there are environmental things about us, but this is the matter of bitterness versus taking responsibility, which is the opposite of bitterness. Bitterness is blaming and then feeling trapped by what has happened to you, your circumstances, and you wish things were different, and you're unhappy because things aren't different. Somebody has done something in the past, or something is not good in relationships, or because of whatever, you are not having life be the way you want it. And so we have to accept personal responsibility. For instance, our house is so tiny, everything gets on my nerves. All right. My job is so stressful, I can't help being irritable with my kids when I get home. It's that time of the month, I just can't handle the pressure at work. My family never deals with problems, we just stuffed everything and pretended nothing was wrong. To this day, I can't really confront issues. My mother was never a real mother to me. I've never had a model to show me how to raise my kids. My family was dysfunctional and reliable, so I've never been able to really get close to people and trust them. Now, are those all issues? Yeah, we'd all say, yeah, that's a big deal. That's something that when you're talking to someone, that's a very helpful, those are facts that help you understand what they're going through. But the point is that that I can't help myself is a terrible lie to believe. In other words, you are destined to be a certain way because of your past. What does the Bible say about that? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's really true. It's horrible, and the misery that comes, and it's bitterness, it defiles. You're just blaming, and so that is really true. Now, when you believe the lie, I can't help myself, then that means you are just going to indulge in wrong patterns of life that will destroy you. And you will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. How much sin can God conquer? All sin. Sin does not have to have dominion over me. Romans chapter 6. Very important to understand that. We are in Christ. And, I can't help but be unfaithful in my marriage because, you know, what all has happened to me and I'm not, you know, happy in my marriage, or I can't help it that I have gotten into the habit of, you know, coping this way and coping that way. And that lie is super destructive. And that is really at the heart of a lot of addictions, by the way. I'm just the way I am. Well, that's where you are at this point, but you have the choice. You are responsible. You have a will. The Holy Spirit is in you if you are saved, and you can be transformed. All right, that's a big one. These are all huge. I mean, these each are, we looked at taking each lie by itself. The only problem with that, we would be on this study for the next 2 years. But anyway, the next one is, I have my rights. Oh boy, if that isn't modern culture, I don't know what is. This lie is at the very heart of what Satan did in the garden. God is not treating you right. You deserve to be as God. You have the right to eat of this fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. You'll be as God if you eat it. God does not have your best interests at heart, and your rights have been taken away from you, and you deserve to eat that fruit. And that has been all the way down the line. And so today we see all of the riots and demonstrations and all the unrest in our culture. And isn't it interesting that in our culture, people have probably the most of any culture in the history of the world, and yet we have the most demanding of rights. It's because we have a lot of very unhappy people because they are not, obviously, they don't know the Lord. And so that's something we need to understand. I have my rights in marriage. What will that do for a marriage? Demanding your rights with your kids after they grow up, is that going to endear you to your children? Nope. I have my rights for certain things to happen in our community. I've been in enough village board meetings. Oh my, it gets so ugly in there. I'm not talking about things we've had that, of course, in trying to just do some of the things we've done here, but just to listen to other cases that are coming before the village board. I don't know how those guys and ladies stand it, you know, there, because it's a constant demanding of rights. That's my property. I want this. I want that. And that's just part of the selfish nature that we have. Now, did Jesus Christ hold on to his rights, Philippians chapter 2? No, he totally let go of his rights and became a servant and went to the cross for us. One of the keys to the Christian life, ladies, is yield your rights, become a servant, and accomplish what he wants you to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And what happens right after that? You have the charge to the wife, the charge to the husband, the charge to the children, the charge to the parents, the charge to the slaves, the charge to the masters. Give up your rights, put the other person first. So the opposite of human nature is demanding rights. And there are certain things that we have to protect ourselves on, and don't want to get into the fine areas of that. We're talking about the attitude of the heart. When you're selfishly demanding your rights, you are going to be buried in, again, selfishness. Things that get a little more subtle. We have a right to be happy, understood, respected, and loved. We have a right to a certain standard of living, to be an equitable wage and decent benefits. We have a right to companionship and romance. We have a right to be valued by our husband and appreciated by our children. We have a right to a good night's sleep, all young mothers. But think about it, though, those you think, well, you know, you see how tempted, you know, I have a right to not have to go through this. I have a right to be taken care of, you know. And the minute you get into that, you're not going to be satisfied, even if they're legitimate things. Here's one of the dangers. As a wife, you know what the command is to your husband. As a parent, you know what the command is to your children. If you're an employer, you know what the command is to your employees, and vice versa. So it's easy for us to say, well, that's what you should do because that's what the Bible says you're supposed to do. But that comes out of a selfish motive. And I wish I had time to go into Jonah there, very good expose on that. Jonah felt that he had a right to be very upset with Nineveh because of what they had done to Israel. And from a human standpoint, it was horrible. And the thought of him going there, and he knew the graciousness of the God, and that to preach repentance, God would grant repentance, and it wasn't fair. And he was standing up for the rights of Israel. He forgot that God is the God of Israel. God knew what he was doing. He cares about people more than anything. And, and by the way, you know, some of the things you don't get are trials that God is going to use to enable you to be a blessing to someone else or grow. I saw Richie Ayer in the hospital last night, and he said, I think I came in here because I think the nurse that's working with me will come to the Christmas program. And we were talking about, yes, it's even worth going through that if she gets to come and hear the gospel. You know, that is, that's the right kind of perspective. God has the right to do with us what he wants. If he lets us have persecution, well, he has the right to do that. If he has trials, and behind all of that is spiritual growth and opportunity for ministry. And if we can understand that, that will change our whole perspective, and Jesus certainly exemplified that. Physical beauty matters more than inner beauty. This is a lie about ourselves, and it's just been pounded through media since Hollywood got to the silver screen and then television got into our homes. It was not nearly as much of an issue. Nearly as much of an issue. In fact, what beauty supposedly looked like would vary. You know, you'll see pictures of ladies that were deemed beautiful in their era, and it's not what today would be what would be seen as beautiful. There was a varying, because there weren't many photographs, there weren't many images, and so it was much more about the person than it was outward physical beauty. But do you think that bothers ladies? Yeah, absolutely. Your worth is dependent upon how you look. In fact, that fruit was good to the eye. It was beautiful. And that's how Satan was able to draw Eve in. And so it's very easy for us to compare ourselves in this matter of how people react. You think about it. Some children initially aren't really cute, just for the genetic reasons. It just is what it is. Or they're not really cute when they're preschool compared to other kids are just cute as can be according to our evaluation. What's so interesting is you get them at 20 years of age, sometimes the cute kids, you know, they're okay, but the not so cute kids are outstanding in how they look. You know, just grow. I mean, going through adolescence can change everything. And but do you think it affects kids if they're not responded to on their appearance? By the way, little plug for courtship. Sure is nice for kids to really believe that God has the right one for them and that they're not going to be attracting someone on the basis of how they look, but they can depend upon God to have someone that loves them for who they are. They ought to have a good presentation. They ought to know how it is to be a good testimony, but they don't have to have that driving force. And honestly, young ladies who are confident who they are in Christ and believe that God will bring the right one at the right time are not tempted to dress in a way that is the popular way to dress to attract men. And I tell you, this is the group right here that needs to teach that to young ladies. Very, very important. And I just believe we have got to be very strong about what the scripture says. And I've run out of time, so you're going to have to hear me talk about it next time. So I will talk about some of the very clear verses about that and about the need to accept ourself as we age. Because the Bible talks about age being a crown, and that that we don't need to try to look 20 all the time. I feel sorry for 60-year-old ladies that are trying to look 20. I'm thinking, you know, I'm sorry, but I can see through the mask. Okay. You know, why don't you just be who you are, you know, and have an inner beauty. So we will end with that. All right, you can see I ran into trouble. I'm just going way too quick through these, so I may review some, and then I'll deal with this.